Our first scripture lesson today comes from the Hebrew Bible, from the book of Genesis, chapter 15, verses 1 through 18. You can find that on page 11 in your pew Bible. Hear these words. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house of Eleazar of Damascus. And Abram said, you have given me no offspring, and so a slave born in my house is to be my heir. But the word of the Lord came to him, this man should not be your heir. No one but your very own issue shall be your heir. He brought him outside and said, look toward the heaven and count the stars. If you are able to count them, then he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And he believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. Then he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you from Ur of the Chaldeans, to give you this land to possess. But he said, O Lord God, how am I to know that I shall possess it? He said to him, bring me a heifer 3 years old, a female goat 3 years old, a ram 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. He brought him all these and cut them in two, laying each half over against the other. But he did not cut the birds in two. And when the birds of prey came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. As the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and a deep and terrifying darkness descended upon him. Then the Lord said to Abram, know this for certain, that your offspring shall be aliens in a land that is not theirs, and shall be slaves there. And they shall be oppressed for 400 years. But I will bring judgment on the nation that they serve, and afterward they shall come out with great possessions. As for you, you shall go on to your ancestors in peace. You shall be buried in a good old age, and they shall come back here in the fourth generation, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. When the sun had gone down and it was dark, a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch passed between these pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your descendants, I give this land from the river of Egypt to the great river Euphrates. The word of God for the people of God.
The epistle lesson comes from the letter of Paul to the church at Philippi, Philippians 3:17 through 4:1. You can find this on page 187 of the New Testament in your pew Bible. Brothers and sisters, join in imitating me and observe those who live according to the example you have in us. For many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. I have often told you of them, and now I tell you even with tears. Their end is destruction. Their God is the belly, and their glory is in their shame. Their minds are set on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven, and it is from there that we are expecting a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will transform the body of our humiliation, that it may be conformed to the body of His glory, by the power that also enables Him to make all things subject to Himself. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, Stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Our gospel lesson continues as we've been throughout these early weeks of Lent in the gospel of Jesus Christ according to Luke. Luke chapter 13, verses 31 through 35. You can find this in your pew Bible on page 72 of the New Testament. At this very hour, some Pharisees came and said to Jesus, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." He said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me. Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you. And I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I thought I was walking away with his stand. I promised to bring it back.
During the week when I prepare my sermons, I try to figure out what it is that God wants us to hear, what it is that God's message ought to be for God's people. And I ask that question every week to the Bible study group after we've studied the lection. What is God's message for God's people? And as we have moved from the time of the beginning of Lent, and we follow along in the Scripture as Jesus moves ever closer to Jerusalem and to His ultimate fate, we are faced with some important questions. And so this morning, I want to offer you some prayers and passages. That's why I'm reading, because there's a bunch of good stuff here. Many of these are probably familiar to you, but I want to draw them together in a way that might provide for you some new insights, a new way of looking at them. And so I have questions to pose to you, so I'd ask you to listen to these questions and to consider them. As we have moved from the Transfiguration, do you remember that, the week before Ash Wednesday, and into the stories of His adult ministries, we find that Jesus is absolutely clear about who He is and whose He is. And I believe that this is also a fundamental question that ought to occupy your thoughts and your prayers during Lent. Who are you and whose are you? To whom and to what do you owe your allegiance? As Paul is addressing the people at the church at Philippi, he's trying to help them understand that there are many things vying for their attention. It is a first century world of many religions, many teachers, and many idols to be worshipped. But Paul is calling these people to remain steadfast in their following of Jesus Christ. There are many people who would have them remain firmly rooted in the culture of the world, but Paul says to them, our citizenship is in heaven, and it is from there that we are expecting a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to look around our church with me this morning, and specifically at three different symbols that reach out to each of us. I want you to consider the American flag,
on the left side, the church flag on the right, and the cross of Jesus Christ over our heads. As you look at these, I want us all to consider those questions. Who are you and whose are you? To whom and to what do you owe your allegiance? Now, my guess is when you hear that word allegiance, your brain does exactly what mine does. And I look at the American flag and I'm remembered of the Pledge of Allegiance that so many of us said the first thing in the morning at school. How many of you had that experience? Okay, well, I'm going to ask you to go back to your childhood, to stand up. This is real. I'm asking you to stand up. What's he doing? And let's do the Pledge of Allegiance. You remember what it was like? Do you remember it? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I'm sure you know about the flap that has since erupted over those two words, under God, and that is in large part why our kids no longer say the Pledge of Allegiance at school. But I hope that that also brings to mind many thoughts. And I hope that all of us who are citizens of the United States recognize our place as good citizens as we ought to be. And I want you to think about words like patriotism and nationalism and colonialism. We are understandably proud to be citizens of the United States, but I don't think we can forget those times in our history when we have not lived up to the ideals of freedom and liberty for all. Who are you and whose are you? I call your attention to the other side of the sanctuary, to the church flag. How many of you have ever even looked at this? Anybody? It's a fairly generic flag with the cross of Christ on it. If you haven't seen it and you want to take a better look, feel free to come up. I don't know how many of you actually see what's in our sanctuary sometimes. It becomes so familiar to us. But as you think about that flag of the Church of Jesus Christ, do you remember the prayer that we pray when someone joins our congregation as a new member of the United Methodist Church? I put it in your bulletin, so if you take a look at the insert, you'll find it there. I'm hoping that we will be praying this in a few weeks, 4 weeks' time at Easter. It's on the insert. There are two prayers there, and the top one should be this prayer. Does everybody find it? Choir. Good job. Well, let us pray it together. And as we do, I want you to think about the words that you're saying. Let us pray. We give thanks for all that God has already given you and welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant faithfully to participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Each of us is called to be a good member of the Burns Memorial United Methodist Church congregation, as well as a good member of the United Methodist Church, as we ought to be. Do you make a distinction in your mind between religion and faith? Think about that. Is there a difference between religion and faith? I've heard of some theologians who would say that religion is a product of human beings.
but that faith is the product of Almighty God. When someone asks you what church you attend, what church you belong to, what is your response? When somebody asks you that, you say, well, I'm a member of Burns Memorial United Methodist Church. Or perhaps you say, I'm a United Methodist. Or perhaps you say, I'm a Christian. Who are you and whose are you? Finally, I want you to concentrate on the largest and most commanding symbol in our sanctuary, the cross of Jesus Christ. What does it really mean to be a Christian person, a child of God? Saint Francis of Assisi, in the 13th century of Italy, wrote a beautiful prayer that you may have heard and you may have seen it before. It is also in your bulletin. And again, I'm going to ask you to take a look at that so that we can pray it together. How many of you have seen this before? Okay. Shall we then pray it together? Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O divine Master, grant that I may be not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen. Many of us here this morning, perhaps most, maybe all, are citizens of the United States. Many of us are members of Burns Memorial United Methodist Church, and many of us are connected to the United Methodist Church worldwide. All of us are children of God, called to be Christian people and called to be disciples of Jesus Christ. All of us are called by Jesus to be citizens of heaven. Who are you and whose are you? Let me offer you a final prayer attributed to our founder, John Wesley. You don't have it, so simply listen. A prayer to God. I am no longer my own, but thine. Put me to what thou wilt. Rank me with whom thou wilt. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed by thee or laid aside for thee, exalted for thee or brought low by thee. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to thy pleasure and disposal. And now, O glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thou art mine and I am thine. So be it. And the covenant which I have made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. My sisters and brothers, let us stand firm in heavenly citizenship. Amen.